And give our pastor and the Lord a hand clap as he comes.
Let's give every bit of that to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one today that's worthy of all praise and honor and glory. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, we used to sing a song back years ago, and I'll never forget it. The presence of the Lord is here. I can feel Him in the atmosphere. Amen. The presence of God is in this place today. And if the Lord is present, He always is. If two or three are gathered together in His name, He said He would be right there in the midst. And I believe that when God is invited in to the group, when we begin to glorify and magnify the Lord, the Bible says that He inhabits the praises of Israel, which we know as the praises of His people. Amen. That when He does so for a reason. He never comes empty-handed. He always has something. Amen. And I still feel like today, I know that we have rejoiced. And I know the presence of God has moved. I know some young folks have been touched. But I truly believe that if you will bear with me just for a few moments today, that God has a word in this house for somebody that needs this word. So I'm going to ask you, if you've got a McDonald's trip planned, hold off of it. Amen. If you're going to go to Taco Bell or Burger King, please wait till the end of service. Because I'm telling you that the word of God is so important in your life. Amen. We are cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. We need the Holy Ghost, don't we? We need the Holy Ghost. But the Bible says that the Holy Ghost leads and guides us into what? All the truth. What is the truth? The Word of God. Amen. So the Holy Ghost does its job, but the Word also does its. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to go to verses 1 through 3. Praise God. Then we're going to read verse 9. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 9. And as the praise team is making their way down, which they did such a beautiful job. They just did wonderful today. Amen. I welcome all of our guests. Amen. That have made their way into the house of the Lord. We are glad that you're here with us. Amen. We appreciate you being with us and enjoying the presence of the Lord with us. I want to give honor today to new converts in this place. Praise God. I'm excited about it. Amen. You know, it wasn't long ago. The Lord did a great work in Sister Jay's life. Amen. What a big part of this church she is. Amen. Got to have her here. Amen. And her husband, we give him honor today. And Brother Garrett was filled with the Holy Ghost on Wednesday and baptized in Jesus' name. How wonderful was that? Amen. This sis back here, I want to introduce myself. I'm the pastor, sis. I'm very glad to meet you. Amen. Maybe I get to talk to you after church, but thank you for being with us today. I appreciate you. Praise God, all of our others, family members that have come, we give everyone honor today. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Scripture says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. If you'll turn with me to verse 9. It said, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. I want to say better things. Better things. And things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. There is such a great anointing this house today. I want to preach this word to you for a little while, and it's this, just simply, as verse 1 said, leaving things. Everyone say leaving things. Leaving things. Praise God. Could we Could we just give the Lord another hand clap in this place before we're seated today? Oh, he's worthy today. Praise God. You can be seated today in Jesus' name. Here in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, Paul is giving specific instruction to the church that needs to be examined carefully, that needs to be understood carefully, or else it might be misconstrued or misinterpreted. Scripture says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. The word is not telling us to leave the doctrine. Just the principles of the doctrine. Doctrine is a necessity for our fundamental beliefs. We cannot make it to heaven without doctrine. Amen. We can't. Doctrine is a necessity of our fundamental beliefs. The foundation of our faith is what the building is built upon. And I want to tell the church that when the foundation crumbles, the building will crumble. Right. Amen. If we extract a piece of the foundation away, I guarantee you the building will begin to crumble and fall. Amen. I have said this many times to this congregation. I have worked in building all of my life. And when going to look at a building, I was made a call this week to go look at a building. When I go look at a building, one of the first things that I do is look at the foundation. Because if the foundation is good, there is something good to build upon. But if the foundation is bad, then more than likely the building is bad. And in order to fix it, many times the expense is just too great. We must be taught and reminded of the doctrine of Christ, lest we forget who Christ is and who we are. I want to say that again today. We've got to be taught the fundamentals of God and the doctrine of Christ, unless we forget who Christ is and we forget who we are. Amen. I want to tell us today in this new day and new age and new things. Let me tell you, we cannot get away from the fundamentals and the doctrine of Christ. Right. Amen. Hear me today. We can teach about the Holy Ghost and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. And we've got it. Oh, we didn't get give out in worship, did we? Y'all got to help me just a little bit. Amen. I've got to understand to get to my destination. First, I've got to understand who Christ is, and then I've got to understand who I am. And this is one of the greatest problems of the church age that we're living in. Many people do not recognize who we are. And it is an age-old problem, amen, that has gone through dispensations of time. And I'll give you an example. We find that when Moses met the Lord, amen, Moses said, Lord, who do I say sent me? And he said, you go tell them, I am that I am. Yeah. And then you find Moses say this, well, who am I? What he said, who am I to do this? I'm a nobody. Right. He didn't recognize the calling of God and the importance of God speaking, calling, and putting his hand upon him. Amen. You can go through the word of God. Amen. We find that Gideon struggled with who he was. And he was hiding behind the press there. And guess what? The angel of the Lord came to him. And he said, Gideon, thy mighty man of valor. Gideon was like, who in the world are you talking about? Amen. I want to tell the church this, that whether you realize it or not, you are mighty people. You are people of the name of Jesus Christ. You have the authority of God in your life. Amen. You need to understand not only who Jesus is, but who you are. Amen. You will never take authority in your life just understanding the authority of God. You've got to understand the authority that's been granted unto you. Amen. So we need to understand the fundamentals of God and the doctrine of Christ. We can never forget the doctrine of death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus died on a hill called Mount Calvary. He was placed in a tomb and he rose again from the dead on the third day. Let me say that again today. Jesus died on a hill called Mount Calvary. They placed him in a tomb, and on the third day, he rose from the dead. I want to tell us in all of our coming and going, you better remember that. You better imprint that upon your mind and your soul and your heart and realize today that you have been called by a resurrected Savior that has power over life and death. And the Bible said that if there be no resurrection, then I am dead in my sins. But thank God, I serve a God, amen, that inhabited a man that got up on the third day. You need to realize today who it is that you serve. He is the risen Christ. I want to say it again loud. He is the risen Christ. I can rejoice today because Christ has been risen. I can shout because Christ is risen. Amen. I can magnify the Lord because Christ is risen from the dead. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the doctrine of death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. Death, burial, and resurrection is the fundamental system of belief, not only in which we're saved by, but in which we live by. Jesus taught it in John 12. He said, "Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone." He said, "But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Oh, I want to preach about this for a little while today. Amen. He said, it's going to bring about much fruit. I want you to know today, amen, we need to get excited. Oh, listen, I know that our flesh rises up against this mentality and this idea, but we need to get excited, amen, about the death of sin in our life. We need to get excited about the calling of God in our life and the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our life and our repentance of sin and death and burial and resurrection. Hallelujah. Oh my. Amen. Jesus taught it in John 12 and Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost. When they were asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said this, "First, you got to repent." Everybody say repent. Amen. Amen. Repentance is simply the death of the old man. Acts 17 and 30 said the Bible tells us, amen, that God had called for all men everywhere to repent. Yes. Everybody say everybody. 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 You're not exempt from repenting. Amen. There was a great man of stature recently asked not long ago, "Have you ever repented?" And that man of stature said, "I've never done anything to repent of." I'm going to tell you today, he does not know the gospel of Christ. Right. Amen. I'm preaching the truth today. Amen. You've got to repent of your sins. Repentance is simply the death of the old man. Acts 17 and 30, the Bible tells us that God has called for all men everywhere to repent. Amen. The new man will never live until the old man dies. I want you to hear me today. The new man will never live until the old man dies. Too many are wondering why we're not living victoriously. Why are the struggles of flesh so hard? Why can I not get over things in my life? Amen. Why is some things haunting me in my life? Amen. It is simply because the old man is not dead. It's that simple. The old man, you're trying to live victoriously, and the old man is not dead. And I want you to know that when you mix the two together, you got a zombie. He's not alive, and he's not dead. He don't know who he is. He don't realize. Amen. Let me tell you today. The new man will never live victoriously until the old man dies. Amen. And I, as a pastor, run into this many times. I counsel with many people. I just can't live this. I can't do this. I can't. Let me tell you something my dad told me a long time ago. Can't die. Amen. Can't will lead you into death. Let me tell you something. Can't is a word that the devil wants to implement into your life. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the Bible says, everybody say the Bible. The Bible says, I can do all things, Sister Gregory, through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. I can live victoriously. I do not have to yield my members unto sin. I do not have to live with the struggles of life. If I will fully repent and slay the old man, I can live victorious. I'm here to tell somebody. I'm here to encourage somebody. Today is your day. Today is your day of salvation. Today is your day of loosing. But you got to turn it loose, and you got to set it free, and you got to live for God victoriously. You got to make up in your mind, I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to let these things die in my life.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Said this before, but there was a conquistador that landed near the Gulf Coast in South America, I believe. And he took his men and he led them to the waters after they had landed and spent some time, and there he burnt his ships. And he told his men, he said, I want you to understand. He said that from this point on, we either conquer or we die. And he wanted his men to know this. There is no turning back. There is no going back to the old lifestyle. Why? Because, amen, because God had ordained that these folks conquer, or they had anyways, amen, and they marched forth and they conquered and they did things, amen, but that idea needs to exist in the church today. I refuse, amen, to go on in the condition I'm at. I refuse to live in condemnation of my life. I refuse to live with things speaking to me, telling me I can't live for God. You can live for God. You can do all things. Yes, you can. You've got to just make sure that the old man is dead. You know, we have looked at Moses and the children of Israel. When you study the word, you find that it took them 40 years to make a 40-day trip. 40 years. We look at that and we say, my, what nonsense. They had to wander for 40 years when they could have marched across, went across, and went in. And we find that they circled mountains. They circled back around. They went to places they had already been. You want to know why? Amen. It took just a few days to get them out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. Amen. And God knew that he had to get it out of them. Amen. That generation of slaves could never walk victoriously into the promised land because they realized, I'm still a slave. Or they had the mentality, I'm still a slave. I've got a taskmaster. I've got somebody that can control me. But thank God for new generations that woke up and said, I'm not going to live in the wilderness of sin anymore. I'm not going to live the way my daddy did. I'm not going to live the way Papa did, but I'm going to live victoriously. I'm going to the promised land. I believe today God is looking for somebody that'll say, I'm going on. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to get some things out of my life. I refuse to live this way anymore. The new man will never live until the old man dies. Amen. The word tells us here in Hebrews, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. I want us to know today that leaving things is an absolute necessity of new life. Not only do we have to pick up new things, but we have to leave some things. Amen. And we need to count the cost because the Bible says to. Amen. You need to leave some things. We need to leave some things collectively. Amen. Spiritually, every one of us, amen, could lose some things in our life that would profit us. I want you to consider these leavings today. Abraham left his family. Jacob left his name. Moses and the children of Israel left Egypt. Joseph left his garment in Potiphar's house after he left the pit. Lot had to leave the land of Sodom. The disciples left their nets. Paul left his position of Pharisee. Blind Bartimaeus left his garment. The cripple left his cot. The lame man left the gate called Beautiful. And Lazarus left his tomb. Amen. Let me tell us today, there are some things in my life, by the grace of God, and this is a testimony, there are some things in this pastor's life, by the grace of God, that I will never have to repent over again. Oh, praise God, I could shout about that. Why? Because it's me. Thank God I conquered some things, amen, through Jesus Christ in me, and I don't have to repent over those. I put them away from me, and I don't do them anymore. I want to tell you that you can get to be the same way in your life. I'm not picking it back up. I'm not going back into those areas. I refuse to live that way another day. Thank God. Now, I'm not telling you that Brother Cook is perfect. I'm telling you that there are some things in my life that have been conquered, and I do not have to worry about those things anymore. There are still battles to be fought, and I'm going to get into that. Because I left them at the altar. Because I left them at the altar. Amen. The Bible said, forgetting those things which are behind. This is, you know, we all come to the Lord, every one of us do. Baggage in our life. Amen. Now, we don't like to admit it, and we would hide it from many people. But when we come to the Lord, every one of us have baggage. Right. Did you hear me today? We have baggage. We have things in our life that are detrimental to our health spiritually. We have attitudes that we need to be rid of. We have spiritual conditions that we need to put away. We have generational curses that have been put upon us by the mentality of our forebears that taught us some different things. Amen. I thank God that I had some grandmothers and grandfathers that were not of this denomination. I love them dearly. But I thank God one day, Brother Danny, that my grandmother Campbell was preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know what she did? She repented of her sins. Amen. And she laid some things down. And Mom, that dear, precious saint of God, amen, she converted her brothers and she converted some of her family members, and she raised a daughter, amen, in church, and I look around now at the fruitfulness of a grandmother that lived for God, amen, Sister Jess and Sister Julie. I know what it is to have a grandmother that lived for God and prayed for me. I've walked in the house, and I've heard her in the room, Brother Kevin, and she would say, God, touch my grandchildren, and I would hear praying, and I look around today, and now her great-great-grandchildren are serving the Lord. Why? Because somebody, amen, was willing to put some things away. Because somebody, amen, made their way down to an altar and said, I'm tired of carrying all the stuff. I'm tired of depression. I'm tired of hurts and pains. I'm tired of jealousy and envy and strife. I'm tired of lust. I'm tired of hurtfulness. I'm tired of things. Oh, let me tell us today, whether we realize it or not, there's a lot of us still around this place that have got baggage in your life. You got some junk in your life that God wants to deliver you from. And I want you to know that you don't have to live this way. As a pastor, I'm tired of seeing browbeaten Christians. Right. Right. I've said this before, and the newer generation are just going to have to bear with me because most of them didn't know the older generations. I remember my great-grandfather, and he was born in 1883. I remember him very well. That's hard to believe. Amen. But I remember that generation, and I remember who they were. Amen. And let me tell you, if we've ever lived today in a powder puff generation, it's today. Amen. It's a generation of giving. It's a generation, amen, that wants everything their way. It's a generation that don't want to give anything up. It's a generation of safe spaces. It's a generation of confusion. Some of them don't know whether they're male or female. It's a generation that is mixed up by the world, and they've been mishandled, and they've been abused, and they've been hurt, and they've been wounded. And I want to tell you that for them, the gospel is just as potent as it was for you, and God can deliver them just like He's delivered you. Amen. But the newer generation, like the older generation, needs to realize today, you got to quit carrying your junk around. You got to let go of the baggage of your life. I'm afraid. Oh, you ain't got afraid. The Bible said, fear not. Let me tell you, you ain't got to live afraid. Did you know I had never heard of a panic attack until after the year 2000? Right. Amen. They hadn't even labeled it. I try to acclimate that to my grandfather's thinking, that my mother's father, one of the most manly men that ever existed in my life, whose father left him with 13 children during the Depression before the war. And mom, they were starving to death, and they didn't have much food to eat. And my grandfather told me later, amen, that he actually pillaged through garbage cans in order to try to help feed the family. And that young man then went to work, amen, at the CC camps. And then he would send his pay home, amen, to help raise his brothers and sisters. And then he joined the army and shipped overseas and fought his way through France and into Europe and all over Africa. And I try to acclimate, amen, a panic attack. That man lived in fear. He lived in battles. He lived in wars. He lived in hard times. He lived losing family in the war. Let me tell you, we need to get tired of being afraid. We need to get tired of the devil whipping us. We need to get tired, amen, of all the things that we bring around in our life that are nothing but baggage. I'm here to prophesy to somebody today, and I want to tell you, you ain't got to live like this. You ain't got to walk around like this. You ain't got to raise your family like this. Every one of us have baggage in our life. We struggle with that baggage. That baggage is hurtful, and that baggage will take us straight to hell if we're not careful. This is my preaching on tonight. Someone turn me. Give me Hebrews chapter 12, 1. I don't have it in my text for today, but I feel this today. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Read that, brother.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us.
Let me tell us today this, that whether you realize it or not, there are things in our life that are not sin that will drag you down. There's relationships in your life that will destroy you and hurt you and damage you. There's things that will upset the apple cart of your life, amen, spiritually. And I want the church to understand this, that you better be on guard who's speaking into your ear and who's whispering into your heart. Amen. Because if you're not careful, you'll pick up something that you don't need to have in your life. You need an understanding today, amen, that you need to lay aside not only every sin, but every weight that would so easily beset us. Amen. The devil wants to put so much garbage in you. He wants to mess your mind up bad enough. He wants to destroy
your spirit to the extent that you can't pray through again. Amen. And we tote this kind of stuff around with us and we say, oh, it's got to go with me everywhere I go. I'm faced with this old thing everywhere I go, and it's hard, and I don't know what to do about it, and I've repented about it, and I'm struggling with it, and I know it ought not be in my life. I want to preach to you today. You have not yet resisted unto blood. You got to get serious about it. You got to make up in your mind, I'm going to an altar. I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of suffering like this. I do not have to live like this. And in a moment, lay it on an altar and say, now I'm done with it. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody. You need to get done with some stuff in your life.
Saying, but I can't get done with it. You can if you'll put it right there. Paul said, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Get serious about repenting of it. He said this, forgetting those things which are behind. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. The problem with humanity, and one of the many problems of saints of God, good saints of God, precious saints of God, is after, amen, these things bother us for a little bit, amen, and we've laid them on an altar, amen, pretty soon we don't pray like we ought to pray, and we don't seek the face of God like we ought to seek him, and we haven't centered our life around Christ the way that we've needed to center him, amen. We've got away from fasting, we've got away from reading the word of God, we've got away from listening to preaching tapes, we've got away from all manners of living for God, amen. We miss church on a dime. COVID has wrecked the church world, because now if somebody has a sniffle, I can't make it to church. And what happens is this, is we have created, or the situation has created, a generation of people that are living spiritually weak. Amen. And Brother Kevin, in a moment, in our spiritual weakness, we walk by that old suitcase and we'll go, man, amen, that's a good looking suitcase, you know. I could do some good things with that. Maybe I made a mistake when I laid it on an altar. Maybe I really ought not laid it down, man. Maybe I could just pick it up again for a little while, not realizing that which is in the case will destroy you and wreck you and bite you and maim you and hurt you. Let me tell us today, amen, you need to put it down and lay it down and never pick it up again. You need to make up in your mind, I'm going forward, not backward. I am forgetting those things which are behind. I'm reaching forth to those which are before. I press toward the mark. Many people have not got serious enough about holiness in their life. Yeah, I said it this morning. Praise God. Will I ever be completely freed from repentance? Romans 7, let me, not as long as I wear this old body of death. And I want to explain that today. These things that are so detrimental to you in your life, these habits, these ideas, this messed up thinking that will cause you to take you away from the house of God and cause you to get into lust and anger and wrath and bitterness and get into the works of flesh. Amen. I want you to know this, amen, that we are going to contend with many of these things as long as we draw breath in our body. But there are some things that we can get out of our life to never go back to. Let me.
I know that I've mentioned, I had some habits in my life when I come to God. And I knew that those habits were not profitable for my relationship. And Brother Kevin, the first time that I ever heard the Lord in my mind as loud that I would almost call it audible, and I know it was audible to me. because I was laying in my bed and I was meditating on the Lord. And I said, God, there's some areas I want to go in you. And I was a young man. I was learning this and I was struggling. And I said, Lord, there's some areas that I want to go in you. And I said, I want you to speak to me and tell me what it is, what's stopping me. And I'll never forget, Brother Mason, it rang through my ears. Amen. And God said, carnality. I'll never forget it as long as I live, Brother McKeithen. Carnality. I was going to church every Sunday. I was giving my tithing. I was teaching Sunday school classes. I was working with young people. I was in positions of leadership, but yet I struggled with carnal ideas and carnal thoughts. Let me tell you something. Sin is not a respecter of persons. Amen. It's not. I don't care who you are. Amen. I don't care whether you're a preacher or just a brand spanking new born again saint. Amen. Every one of us have got the same struggles. Some have just been at it a little longer than others. Amen. But I do want you to understand today, amen, that you better take on the attitude of a fighter. Amen. You better take on the attitude, amen, that you have carnally and apply it to a spiritual condition and say, I'm going to fight this thing. I'm going to battle this thing. I'm going to put it under the blood every single day of my life. I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'm going to bury it under the blood. At nighttime, I'm going to bury it under the blood. I'm going to live for God. And until you do, it will haunt you, wreck you, and bother you until there's nothing left of you. Amen. As long as I walk in this flesh, Paul said it like this, those things that I would do, I do not, and those things that I would not do, those I do. He said, there's a struggle going on inside of me, a war that I fight. He said, I recognize. He said, there's a war going on. And then he goes on to say this in almost a spiritual plea, who shall deliver me from this body? Who is going to deliver me from this? Who is able to loose me? And then he goes, I thank God through Jesus Christ that there is therefore now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Everybody say walk. That walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I got the key for you to live victoriously. Get up and walk. When you fall, get up and live for God again. When you stumble, get up and live for God. When you have an accident, go on and live for God. You don't have to live in a fallen state. Too many people live in places that they ought not live, because the devil has convinced them that they can't live above it. Right. I want you to hear this word here that Paul says also. We forget about this in the book of Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. God forbid. Let me tell us today, God does not give you permission to sin. Right. He does not give me permission to sin. Come on, that's right. I want us to understand today, sinning is not right. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Paul, or the Bible later goes on to say, I believe it was Paul that said, I die daily. Daily. Just as sure as you don't die every day, sin will sneak up on you. Just as surely as you think you can make it without God and you don't pick your Bible up and invest yourself in the Word of God, let me tell you, sin will sneak up in your life. Let me revert that. Or if I could, let me just turn it around. Amen. If you will get into the Word, if you will repent of your sins daily, if you will confess your faults one to another, I want to tell you, you are far less likely of failing. That's the truth. Amen. It is not permissible with God to sin.
Then the Bible says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized, how? Into his death. Into his death. Let me tell us today, when you repent of your sins, amen, you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are washed in the blood. And I want everyone to know this. I know that some may have been baptized twice, but I want to give you something today. I believe, according to the word of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, is a baptism that you only need applied once in your life. Amen. Do you want to be baptized again and again and again? There's some people that are baptized habitually. Amen. I'm not picking on anyone today that has been baptized more than once. But let me tell you something. If you would take communion and inspect yourself as the Bible says and cover it with the blood of Christ. Amen. God has put forth a plan that you can live victoriously and you ain't got to be baptized every day of your life. Oh, we ought to shout about that. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Let me tell us today, death, burial. Everybody say burial. Burial. Amen. There is no heaven without burial in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You got to be buried. Not only do you have to die, but you got to be buried. Amen. How? In the name of Jesus Christ, the only name that was ever given among men whereby we must be saved. And then he says this, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. And Paul said to the Philippians, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 8 and 11, but if the spirit of him that raised Jesus up from the dead dwell in you. Oh, let me say that again. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus up from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. If you cannot live victoriously in your life, if you cannot walk in the newness of life, you will not be resurrected from the dead. If you are living in the deadness of your sins, amen. Repentance is death. Baptism is burial, and the Holy Ghost is resurrection power. And let me tell you today, the Holy Ghost is so free. Is so free. God is not withholding the Holy Ghost from anybody, amen, unless they have sin in their life. But the Holy Ghost is free, and it's so free that a young man, 17, 18 years old, Brother Bogle, the Holy Ghost began to minister to him in his pew the other night. And he began to make his way up here to the platform area, to the altar area. And in a few minutes, with uplifted hands and a youth group gathered around him, amen, nobody had to teach him how to speak in tongues. Amen. All of a sudden, it burst forth out of his mouth. Amen. I've told others, I said it was one of the most beautiful sights. Amen. Because he began to speak in tongues, and then the realization of what he was doing set on him, Brother Mason, and he backed up and he went. I said, don't stop. But he laid into it again because he realized what God gave him. Let me tell you something. This is real. This is powerful. This will change your life. This will resurrect the dead. This will heal your body. This will cause you to live holy in your life. Amen. You've got to have the Holy Ghost if you're going to live holy. You've got to have it today. Amen. Praise God. God didn't give you the Holy Ghost to live a defeated life. Right. Death, burial, and resurrection. God didn't give you the Holy Ghost to live a defeated life. Amen. Hebrews 6 says, let us go on unto perfection. Amen. Perfection in most of its examples in the Word of God, amen, is linked to two words. And it means completed, mended, finished, and equipped. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect
in every way, in every fashion. Amen. I know I'm pretty close to perfect. No, I'm not. Amen. I'm a wretch of a man. I have failings in here just like you do. Failings in here just like you do. And when I receive the Holy Ghost, let me expound this, and I'm fixing to finish. I want to expound on this for some. Amen. That when the mistakes of your life come, and when the failings of your life come, amen. The Bible said at one point, when I fail, when I fall, I shall arise. Amen. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will what? Shall be a light unto me. Brother Danny, if we could get this in Christians' minds today, if we could make the Holy Ghost saint of God begin to understand today, you do not have to live with condemnation in your life. When you have a failure, come to an altar, repent of your sins. My, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to live in condemnation of your sin. Amen. Why? Because Jesus Christ shed his blood on Mount Calvary. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13. Amen. If we could understand this today, Paul said, and this also we wish, even your perfection. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Ephesians 4. Listen to me. This is so important. And he gave some apostles. Why did he give apostles? He gave some prophets. He gave some evangelists. He gave some pastors and teachers. You want to know why we have to come to the house of God? Not just for the fellowship of the saints, so that the word of God would be preached and taught to us, that we would gain an understanding of the word. Why? For the perfecting, everybody say, for the perfecting of the saints. You cannot be made perfect. You cannot be equipped without having these things in your life. And someone may try to convince you of it, but let me tell you, anyone that's putting anything, amen, other than the fivefold ministry in your ear is speaking lies. Anybody that tells you you do not have to have this kind of ministry working in your life, they don't believe the word of God that simply said, I've got to have them for the perfecting. I've got to have it. I've got a pastor in my life. I've got a bishop in my life. I've got evangelist in my life. I said this the other day. I was in a prayer room. I'm just like y'all. I was praying, Brother Jerry, and I was having one of them days. And I want you to know that being the encourager all the time is taxing on somebody. Yes, it is. It is. And I'll never forget, Brother McKeith and I said, Lord, today, I said, I want a phone call. I said, I give everybody calls. I send texts. I do my best to connect with people. Amen, especially those that are weak and going through things in their life. I said, but God, you got to speak to me today. And I said, I read the word, and I've got an understanding of your promises. And I'll never forget, I walked back, I sat in my office, and an evangelist texted me. He said, Brother Cook, I don't know why. He said, but God laid you on my heart right now. And he said, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Let me tell you, you got to have ministry in your life. And unless you got ministry in your life, you'll be caught in sin and you will have spiritual shipwreck. You can't get enough off video, CD, DVD, off Facebook. You need a personal touch. You need somebody that knows your condition. You need somebody, amen, that listens to the voice of God and the word of God. Hallelujah. Why? For the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I'm still preaching about leaving things. He said, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you.
things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Stand with me today. Hallelujah.